This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, Rabbi Yisai. The learning tonight should be Lo Iloi Nishmas. My grandmother, whose patira was exactly a year ago, tonight is today. Sam Gedalia is her first yard site. Tehei Nishmasa Tzura B'Tzara Chaim. Okay, so we're all familiar. The Yom Tov HaBa'alinu L'Toiva, Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur. We know it sounds very much like Purim, and I'm sure we've heard over the years, Yom Kippurim, it's a day like Purim. Is there any basis for that? Is there any source that there is a connection between Purim and Yom Kippur? Actually, if you think about it, you probably cannot come up with two more diametrically opposed days. I mean, they're mamish polar opposites. Yom Kippur, we're like Malachi Asharis, no eating, no drinking. We don't give any attention to the guf at all. No bathing, no anointing. And then Purim, it's almost, you know, Hashem's name is not even in the Megillah. To that extent, we focus on the guf. So what exactly is there the connection between Purim and Yom Kippur? And what is the source of it? So the source of the connection between Purim and Yom Kippur is the Tikkunei Zayar. Tikkunei Zayar says in Tikkun Chaf Aleph, Purim is Iskerias al Shem Yom HaKippurim. Purim is called based on Yom HaKippurim. So from the Tikkunei Zayar, it implies different than what people are usually accustomed to. Most usually say Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is like Purim. It's not as great as Purim, is even greater. But actually the Lashon of the Tikkunei Zayar is no. Purim is, the name of Purim derives from Yom Kippur. So it's, Purim is a takeoff on Yom Kippur. But the truth is, I just saw before the Shir, number 18, the Ben Ish Chai wrote a commentary on the Zayar called Benayahu. I'll tell you the truth, I didn't know that he wrote this commentary. I was looking in the Benayahu on Shas, I didn't realize that he wrote a Benayahu on the Zayar as well. And he says pretty much that the HaKippurim, the Kaf HaDimyoin, the Kaf of Kippurim is the Kaf HaDimyoin. It's Purim, Yom Kippurim. And in other words, Yom Kippur is like Purim, you know, the way that we're more accustomed to saying it. It's the number 18, Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, it's a Kaf HaDimyoin, there's a Shva under the Kaf. Okay, be it as it may, we want to explore what is the connection between Purim and Yom Kippur. And with Yom Kippur ahead of us, what can we derive and glean from this connection in terms of our Avodah? Okay, so I want to share with you a Mishnah in Kalim. It's quite a mysterious Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and the Mishnah is going through the days of the week, what was created on which day, and whether it's Mekabel Tumah or not. So it says, V'yesh b'mash nivra b'yom harishon Tumah. There is, in what was created on the first day, items that are Mekabel Tumah. What was created on the first day? Eretz. So if you take dirt, and you make a kli, so it's a kli cheres, so it's mekabel tuma. It's so mekabel tuma that there's no way to be matar. You have to break it to be matar. So that which was created on the first day is mekabel tuma. Oh, by the way, Yom Kippur can't fall out on Sunday. B'sheni, on what was created on day two, ain boy tuma. What was created on day two? The rakia, the firmament. The firmament, whatever you make out of firmament, it's not even tangible, it's not substantive, it's not makabel tuma. Oh, it's not makabel tuma? Yom Kippur could be on Monday. B'yishlishi, yesh boi tuma. On Tuesday, that which was created is makabel tuma. The eitzim, the trees, kli eitz is makabel tuma. B'ravi, on the fourth day, what was created on the fourth day, the luminaries, it's not makabel tuma. You know, I remember Rabbi Reisman likes to say over, that it's a good space exploration is very important, because when Mashiach comes, we're going to need kelim. People are not going to want to have kelim that are makabel tuma, because what are you going to do when they're makabel tuma? Kli cheres, all your china is like, forget it. There's no need. Once Mashiach comes, what are you going to do with china? Imagine, you know, somebody's milk serving, all of a sudden they become tamei. Yeah, so throw it out. What are you going to do? You know, a woman becomes tamei. Middle, she's serving, she becomes tamei. You have to throw it out or break it. You know, so what are they going to do? That's where space exploration comes in. They're going to take moon stuff and make kelim out of it. And it's not makabel tuma. It's the best thing. You don't have to have different sets. You see, pashtus b'zman shebeis mikdash, they had two sets of dishes, but they'll be able to use the chveis. You know, stardust to make kelim. Very important. Anyway, so what was created on day 4, no tumah. On day 5, also not mekabel tumah. Birds and fish are not mekabel tumah. Chutz meknaf ha'oiz, except for the feather of an aznia. The feather of an aznia, the kelim made out of it are similar to other kelim, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. Also, uveitzas na'amis hametzupa, the egg of an ostrich that's coated. Now, it sounds funny. It's not funny. I have one at home. I made sure that when I went to South Africa, I brought home an ostrich egg. Every, you know, like in Manhattan, every corner you buy a magnet. You can buy, that's like the most common souvenir, an ostrich egg. Obviously, you know, one of my kids dropped it already, you know, and it's half broken, but I do have an ostrich egg at home. And an ostrich egg is the one thing that was created on day 5 that's mekabel tumah. No, why should that feather be different? And therefore, on day 5, the knaf ha'oiz is not mekabel tumah. V'chol shenivra b'yom ha'shishi tamei. Whatever was created on the 6th day is mekabel tumah. Okay, a very mysterious Mishnah. Why the Mishnah is written, tell me, halacha l'maisa. So tell me, these kelim are mekabel, these kelim are not mekabel. Why does the Mishnah say day 1 is Makabel, day 3 is Makabel, day 5, it's not really Makabel, it's only Makabel Midrabanon, and day 6 is Makabel Tumah. Of what significance is it that the days, that don't take my original, that the days, he's okay, we'll still be friends? As long as you don't take my original, we'll be friends. Okay, good. So basically, well, why is the Mishnah doing this? Why is the Mishnah telling me which days are Mekabel Tumah, which days are not Mekabel Tumah? Okay, so let's begin as follows. This is Gemara in Pesachim, Sama Chesam Adbeis. It tells us about a guy by the name of Mar Brei de Ravina. Mar Brei de Ravina. Kula Shasa Havayasa Betanisa. He fasted the whole year. Except for 3 days. Labar Meyatzarta, except for Shavuos, Uporia, and Purim. Umali Yom Edechipur, and Erev Yom Kippur. The whole year. It sounds like Shabbos also. Why? Why these 3 days not? So probably you would like to think that these 3 days have something in common. What are they? Atzeres, Yom Shenitna by Torah. Shavuos is the day the Torah was given. Purya, Yimei Mishta v'Simcha. Because if it says in the Megillah, Yimei Mishta v'Simcha. Male Yom Adikipuri. Because we know there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Pel Atzuma. 3 days a year he didn't eat. He ate. What are they? Shavuos, the day the Torah is given, Purim, because it says Yimei Mishta v'Simcha, and Erev Yom Kippur. First of all, what about Yom Tif? In the Megillah it says Yimei Mishta v'Simcha. That's only Medivri Nevi'im. What about the fact that Torah says you have to have Simcha on Yom Tif? He didn't eat on Yom Tif, apparently. And of all the Yomim Tovim he ate, Erev Yom Kippur, that's the biggest Yom Tif of the year, Erev Yom Kippur. So the Vilna Gaon says an amazing thing. The Vilna Gaon, I didn't find on my own. This is quoted by Rav David Kohen, the Rashiv of Hebron. He says an amazing gra. The gra is in the Likutei HaGra, originally in the Yahel Ar. I think Yahel Ar is the gra's commentary on the Zayar. So the gra says, there are 18 days of Yom Tov a year. 2 verses 2, 7 verses 7. The days that we say Halal Shalem are a makeup for the days that we don't say Halal Shalem. So when do we say Halal Shalem? Sukkot and Chanukah. What days do we not say Halal Shalem? Pesach and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Says the Gra, at Chanukah's Halal is a makeup for the Halal we don't say in Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting. Chanukah's Halal is a makeup for the Halal we don't say in Rosh Hashanah. Plus, there's a whole cheshbon. What they are, let's say you have days of Pesach, 6 days of Pesach, they don't say Halal Shalem, and you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, 1 day of Yom Kippur. I don't have the whole, but that's what the Gra writes. Okay, so where are we going with this? And then 2 verses 2, Purim versus Yom Kippur. How's that? Because it says about Yom Kippur, Ein Bayachi Lo Shtia, corresponding to Yom Kippur is Purim, that we eat a lot. Like we know that Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov, like the Gemara says at the end of Tainis, Lo'ihayu, the Mishnah says in Tainis, Chavavam Beis, Lo'ihayu Yom and Tam Yisrael, Ki Yom HaKippurim, the greatest Yom Tov of the year was Yom Kippur. So the truth is, if Yom Kippur is such a great Yom Tov, then what kind of Yom Tov is it without good food? The answer is, we really need to have good food on Yom Tov, on Yom Kippur. There's just one problem. The problem is you're not to eat. So when do you eat for the eating that you're supposed to do on Yom Kippur? Purim is makeup for Yom Kippur. So you're supposed to eat double on Purim to make a... He doesn't say that, but Purim is a tashlumim for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur really is a Yom Tif. Really you're supposed to celebrate B'mishtav Simcha, and we make up for that on Purim. So the question is, why is Purim the makeup for Yom Kippur? Because they sound the same? Just a play on words? So the Gemara says, no, very pashat. What happened on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, we received the Torah that we have today. Yom Kippur, we got the Luchos Shniyos. The Luchos Rishonos are shattered to smithereens. The Torah we have today, when we learn Torah today, it's Luchos Shniyos. That was given on Yom Kippur. In fact, the Mishnah says at the end of Tainis, on the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Tse'ena Ure'ena Benois Tzion Ba'melech Shloimai. Go out and see daughters of Zion, King Shlomo. Who's King Shlomo? God. God is called King Shlomo. Melech Shasham Shalom. Spa'atarosha Itchalo Imai. We crowned God. We are God's mother. Shlomo Melech says, we have many relationships with God. Sometimes we're his sister, sometimes we're his daughter, sometimes we're his mother. Different relationships. The Meshech Chachma says the different Yamim Tovim are an experience of these different relationships. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot is mother, sister, daughter. Okay. On the day that God got married, what day did Hashem get married? Says Rashi, Zematan Torah. The Mishnah says, Yom Chasuna, so Zematan Torah. Rashi explains that Yom Kippur is the chasuna of God, because on Yom Kippur we received the Luchos Shniyos. So therefore, Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov because we received the Torah. So now we're learning that there's something very much in common between the 3 days that Mar Brei D'Ravina ate. They're all days of Kabbalas HaTorah. Shavuos, we got the Torah. Yom Kippur, we got the Torah. Purim, we accepted the Torah b'Ahava, because until Purim, we didn't really accept it lovingly. The Gemara says, until Purim, if we don't keep the Torah, we have a good excuse. We didn't want it. God shoved it down our throat. And Purim, we accepted it lovingly. So the truth is that it's not 3 random days that Mar Brei D'Ravina ate. He never ate unless it was such a simcha that it was connected to Kabbalas HaTorah. And there are 3 days a year that are connected to Kabbalas HaTorah. Shavuos. Yom Kippur, he can't eat on Yom Kippur, so he ate Erev Yom Kippur, and he ate on Purim. So says the Gra, Purim is the Tashlumim for Yom Kippur. Really, on Yom Kippur, it should be the happiest day of the year. It's the day God gave us the Torah. The only problem is, we can't eat, because we need Semes Nafshe Seichem. So the way we're Mashlim, the Suda of Purim, the Suda of Yom Kippur, is the Sudas Purim, is the Tashlumim for the Suda we really should have been making on Yom Kippur. So points out Rav David Kohen, Rav Shiva of Hebron, that we learn from the Gra, the secret of how Purim is connected Yom Kippur. Both Purim and Yom Kippur are days of Kabbalas HaTorah. Yom Kippur was the day we received the Luchos Shniyos, and Purim is the day we were Mekabel et B'Ahava. Yom Kippur, we really should have been celebrating the Mishnah V'Simcha. We're just withdrawn. We're withheld from doing so, and we fulfill it on Purim itself. But we also learn another amazing thing from this Gra that Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver explains explicitly. Look at number 10. Ratzoloimar Purim hu mashlim mashachosar b'Yom Kippur. In other words, when you walk out of Yom Kippur, you feel like $1,000,000. You feel clean. You feel fresh. You feel God cleansed you. The only thing is, you should feel missing. And that is, you should feel you blew it. You didn't make a suda on the happiest day of the year. So you're not able to be mashlim that until Purim comes. So really what's taking place now is, Purim and Yom Kippur are really, in a way, one day. They're flip sides of one coin. They are the day of Kabbalas HaTorah. They're the day that we rejoice over the Torah. Yom Kippur, we rejoice spiritually. It's Ein Bo Achila V'Ein Bo Shtiyah. And Purim, we celebrate physically. Do you have to have in mind when you make a Shachiyanu on Yom Kippur?
No, on Purim, by the Megillah, by day, do you have to have in mind the Suda of Yom Kippur?
You have in mind the Suda of Purim, which is Tashlum. Yeah, I guess, right? So it's an interesting relationship then that Purim has with Yom Kippur. They're really two sides of one coin. They're a celebration of Kabbalah Satayrah, and we do on Purim what we're not able to do on Yom Kippur. So let's explain a little bit deeper. Okay. There's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peites Amud Beis. The Gemara in Shabbos says that at the end of days, we say to Yitzchak Avinu, hey Isaac, you're our father. Abraham, you don't know who we are. Jacob, you don't recognize us. Isaac, you're our father. You're our father, you're our redeemer. What's this talking about? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. So the Gemara explains. La'asid lavai, God's going to come to Abraham, and he's going to say, Abraham, your children are bad. You know, like when your wife tells you, look, your kids are bad, your children that you brought into the world, they're bad kids, those children are yours, right? So Abraham says, you're right, wipe them out, get rid of Klal Yisrael. So then Avram says, you know what, maybe go to Yaakov Avinu. He had Sar Gidol Banim. Maybe he'll have Rachmanus. Hashem goes to Yaakov. Hashem says, Yaakov, your kinderlach are bad. So Yaakov says, wipe them out. So Hashem says, old people, they have no tam. Young people, they have no counsel. Meaning Avraham, he doesn't have it. Yaakov doesn't have it. Finally, Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak says, Ribbono Shel Olam, what's the big problem here? They sinned? How long does a person live anyway? Anyway, a person only lives 70 years. So at most, they sinned 70 years. The first 20 years don't count. You're not responsible for the first 20 years. So at most, they've sinned 50 years. 50 years? Big deal, 50 years. First of all, Yitzchak says, I'm taking issue with what you said. My children sinned? Hey God, when you gave us the Torah, you said, B'ni b'chayri, you said, they're your children. They're your children. They're my children. They're your children. So now, anyway, there's only 50 years. 50 years? 25 years is nighttime. Who sins in the nighttime? I don't know. That's a good one, right? Who sins in the nighttime? Nobody sins in the night. So anyway, there's only 25 years left. Out of the 25 years, says Yitzchak, 12 and a half years, people are either davening, eating, or in the Beis HaKiseh. Some people a little more of one, and some people a little more of the other. Yeah? Everybody has their place of choice. But anyway, so now there are only 12 and a half years left. Of those 12 and a half years, says Yitzchak, take everything. God, 12 and a half years you can handle. I just knocked it down from 70 to 12 and a half. The first 20 years don't count. 25 years are night. 12 and a half years are davening, eating in the bathroom. So you take it on the chin. And if you don't want to, Palgi olai, palgi olecha. You take half, I'll take half. I'll take 6.5, you take 6.5. 6.25, right? 6.25, and you. So what's the secret here that Yitzchak Avinu is saying, I'll take half, you take half? What's the deeper meaning over here? So Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak quotes Rav Itzel of Peterburg. He says an astounding pshat in this Gemara, a gorgeous pshat in this Gemara. Says Rav Huttner, the Gemara says in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin, that the various prayers that the Tanoim prayed at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, right? And the Gemara says there was a Tana, there was a sage by the name of Rav Alexandri, that at the end of his davening, he said the following, Ribon ha'ilamim, galoi v'yadua lefanecha, sheretzaynenu la'asais retzayncha. It is revealed and known before you that it is our will to do your will. Shkoyach, right? Man, you go to the teacher, you flunk the test, you got a 10 on the test, you tell the teacher, Teacher, you should know I wanted to do well. So he says, So what stopped you? I didn't stop you. Why didn't you do well? So the Gemara asks, Umi ma'akev, so what's stopping you? Two things. So arsha be'isa, v'shibur ma'achias. The yeast and the dough, and we're subjugated by the nations of the world. So the question is, what does the Gemara mean? Basically, the Gemara is saying, if not for these two things, we'd be perfect angels, and there are only two things that stop us from serving Hashem. So arsha be'isa, the yeast and the dough. Now, what does that mean? Celiac disease. You know, that's what's the main ma'akev. Carbs. That's the main thing. You know, you eat a donut, you become drunk from sugar, you can't think clearly, and you do averus. That's one pshat. That's a pshat. People, yeast, the carbohydrates make a person do averus. But what's the real pshat in the Gemara? The Rashi says, the yeast in the dough is the Yetzahara. The Yetzahara inflames the heart. He makes a person a balgaiva, he makes a person a baltaiva. Rashi says, Yetzer hara shabil vavenu hichmitzanu. The Yetzer hara in our heart made us go sour. That's the first ma'akev. The first thing that stops us from serving God is the Yetzer hara. And the second ma'akev is shibud malchius, the goyim. What does that mean, the goyim? Very pashat. You're walking home, a bus comes by, you see a billboard, you see an advertisement, all of a sudden you want. Where does a Jew chalom zech to want X, Y, and Z? The answer is the influence of the nations of the world. You see it on the buses, you see it on the screen, you see it in wherever you look, in the media, and that lowers our standards, right? These are the two main things that take us away from Hashem, the Yetzer hara and the goyim. Says Rav Itzel Petterberg, this is the secret of the Gemara. Yitzchak says, look, at the end of the day, where does sin come from? The Yetzer hara and Esav. Who's responsible for the Yetzer hara? That's on you, God. You gave us the Yetzer hara. Who's responsible for Esav? That's my fault. I brought Esav into the world. Palgi alayu, palgi alecha. Half is on you. Half of the averus are your fault, God. You gave us the Yetzer hara. And half are my fault. I brought Esav into the world. That's the side of the Gemara, that Yitzchak's going to rescue us at the end of days. That at the end of days, Yitzchak's going to rescue us. How? He says, God, don't blame the Jewish people. There are only two things that keep us away from Hashem. There is the Yetzer hara, and there is Shiva Malchia. So one of them is my fault, and one of them is your fault. So comes Rav Huttner, and Rav Huttner explains this beautifully. We have 2 days a year. These 2 days a year, which are flip sides of the same coin, are going to reveal the true innermost desire of the Jew, which is Ritzayneinu La'aseis Ritzayncha. If only we could get rid of Shibud Malchiyos, if only we could get rid of the Yetzer hara, if we get rid of those two things, then we're going to reveal what's hidden in our heart. We're going to be Megale, what's Behester Bilibeinu. We're going to be Megillas Esther. We're going to reveal that which is hidden in our heart. So what do we need to get rid of? We need to get rid of the Satan, and we need to get rid of Esav. So very pashat. Yom Kippur is the one day a year that the Satan has no shlita. The Gemara says in Yuma, the gematria of HaSatan is 364. There are 364 days a year that the Satan has dominion. There's one day a year the Satan is, we tell him, to get lost. By the way, I saw Megal Amukai says, why are we calling him HaSatan? His name is Satan. And that would make it that it's only 359, which means there are really another 5 days that he doesn't work. That's right! He doesn't work bichlal on Yom Kippur. And then the next 5 days, we're so busy that even though he tries to work, we're too busy to do averus. So that's where the hay comes in. The hay is those 5 days where he could work, but practically he doesn't get us. Okay, very interesting. But be it as it may, there's one day a year he can't do anything. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur gets rid of Palgi Olai. That's God's day. God says, Palgi Olai, half of it is on me. So I'm going to give you one day a year that you get rid of the Yetzer hara entirely. So this hey pshat would be saying, right, that the first day also you're not doing an avera. Or it could be that we count Yom Kippur like twice. He doesn't do anything, and even if he would, we would be too busy. Okay, but that's what the Megal Mukai says. Okay, so then it comes out there are 2 days a year that we get rid of our two me'akvim. Yom Kippur we get rid of who? We get rid of the Yetzer hara. And Purim, we say, V'rabim e'am e'aretz mis yahadim, many goyim converted, ki nafal pachad hayudim aleim. We got rid of the goyim. We destroyed Amalek. Esav disappears on Purim. So if we have Yom Kippur that gets rid of the Yetzer hara, and we have a Purim that gets rid of the son of Yisrael, then we're able to be Megala, what's Esther Bilibeinu, which is Ritzayneinu La'aseis Ritzayncha. That's the dynamic duo of Yom Kippur and Purim. Yom Kippur is Palgi Olai, is God's day to get rid of what's his fault, so to speak, and Purim is our day to get rid of what's our fault, we get rid of Amalek. Between the two of them, we're looking good. I wanted to add one little detail, that Yitzchak first tells God, the truth is, it's all your fault. Because you created Esav anyway. So the truth is, on Yom Kippur, we try to get rid of both. There's no Yetzer hara. And we take the Sar La'azazel. The Sar La'azazel is Esav. It says, V'nasa is called Avoinoisam, Avoinois Tam. Esav carries off the Sa'ir. The Sa'ir is Esav, is Ish Sa'ir. The Sar is Esav. We try, in other words, Yitzchak says to God, really, you take all 12 and a half. Meaning to say, according to this pshat, the Yitzhar is your fault, and Esav is your fault, so we make an attempt on Yom Kippur to get rid of everything. In case we didn't do a good job getting rid of Esav on Yom Kippur, we have another day of Purim to get rid of Esav. That's just a nice addition to what Rav Huttner is saying. Then, that was the Pachad Yitzchak on Purim, Inyan Ches. There's another beautiful piece in the Pachad Yitzchak, and that is contrasting Purim to Yom Kippur. Think about what happened on Purim. What was supposed to happen on Purim? We were going to be destroyed. There was a gzeira, what? Lahashmid, Larag Liabed. What was going to happen on a Yom Kippur? God says to Moshe, stop davening. Heref mimeni v'ashmidim. Let go of me, and I'm going to destroy them. So the truth is, both on Yom Kippur and on Purim, they were looming the gezeros of Hashmada. But Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and he was mevatel the gezera. Now the gezera of Yom Kippur, did we know that we were in threat of being destroyed? We didn't know. God didn't tell us we were going to be destroyed. It was decreed in heaven. This is all taking place in the Shemayim. Hashem told Moshe, let me be, and I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. So Moshe was davened, and he didn't eat for 40 days, and he was mevatel the gzera. So to speak, the looming decree and the salvation of Yom Kippur, it all took place, kuloi l'Hashem. It all took place in heaven. We didn't even know there was gzera on us, and we didn't even know Moshe was mevatel it. It all took place in a realm above us. It's all kuloi l'Hashem. On the other hand, the gzera of Purim took place down here. We knew. We got a letter in the mail. Haman is going to annihilate Klal Yisrael. And we, down here, we fasted and we did tshuva. So to speak, the realm that took place in heaven on Yom Kippur was then mirrored downstairs in this world on Purim. Says Rav Huttner, it's an incredible thing. Every single Yom Tov, how do we celebrate? Chatzi Lachem, Chatzi Lashem. Half the day you spend davening, learning, tefillah, that's chatzi l'Hashem, and the other half, you spend eating, sleeping, that's chatzi l'Hashem. There are only two exceptions to the rule. There's Yom Kippur, that's kulay l'Hashem, and there's Purim, that's kulay l'Hashem. How could it be an exception to the rule? The answer is not an exception. There's one day. The day is Kabbalah Satoira. Half of that day is Yom Kippur, it's chatzi l'Hashem, and half of that day is Purim, it's chatzi l'Hashem. So it's not an exception, it's just Purim and Yom Kippur are like parallel half days at different times in the calendar. So Rav Huttner says a beautiful thing, even in the way that we deal, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, Purim and Yom Kippur are also polar opposites, but they bring out this concept that we're trying to say, and that is on Yom Kippur, what do we give our friends? Nothing. What kind of money do we don't do anything. What do we ask? Please be Meichel me. Please be Meichel me. No, I don't want to be Meichel you. No, you need to want to be Meichel me. Okay, I'm Meichel you. It's not enough. You have to be Mephias, your friend. You have to appease him so that his nefesh is happy with you, is pleased with you. In other words, we're targeting the neshama. It's the day that's Kuloi Lashem. So you need to target the soul. You need to want to like me again. It's not about physical gifts. That's nonsense. Purim, on the other hand, I bring you Laffy Taffys. You don't want Laffy Taffys. You're disgusted by Laffy Taffys. The jokes aren't funny and it doesn't taste good. But the Ramah paskins that if I give you Shalach Manis and you don't want it and you say, I don't want it, I'm Yoitzei. Because on Purim, we don't care about what you want. We don't care about your neshama. We just care about your goof. The body likes sugar. I don't like sugar. No, your mind doesn't like it. Your goof likes sugar. It tastes good. Even if you refuse and reject my Shalach Manas, I'm Yoitzei. We don't care about your Ratzoin on Purim. We just care about your body on Purim. These are two flip sides of the same coin. So a friend of mine, Rabbi Yosef Farbowitz, suggested maybe that's why Hashem's name is not in the Megillah. The Yom Kippur is Kulei Lashem. It's all about God. It's all about God. And Yom Kippur and Purim is all about my body. It's interesting, there's a famous Chassam Sofer, he has a cute vart, that he says there's a mitzvah to eat achila gasa on Purim. Why? Achila gasa? It's like the worst thing. He said, no, because the avero that they did was they were nenner from the suit of Achashverosh. What do you want from their lives? Their lives were on the line. It's bikuach nefashas. No, they should have eaten achila gasa. If you eat achila gasa, whatever you eat afterwards is not hana. So the chid in the times of Purim was not eating achila gasa. So in order to rectify that, there's a mitzvah to eat achila gasa. Some people are makbid on that the whole year, just up to Purim, right? But again, this is just Purim and Yom Kippur are like mirror images of each other. We're going to go with the 747 Marav Zman, okay? So let's go with this. Coming back to the Mishnah in Kalim. Okay, I'll have you out right before the Tainus is over. Don't worry. The Mishnah in Kalim says like this. On the first day, God created the earth as Mekabel Tumah. On the second day, He created the firmament. That's not Mekabel Tumah. On the third day is Mekabel Tumah, the trees. On the fourth day is not Mekabel Tumah. On the fifth day is not Mekabel Tumah, the fish and the birds. But there is certain things that are Mekabel Tumah Drabbana. On the sixth day, God created man as Mekabel Tumah. Says the Shas Teshuvas Mayim Chayim, that he heard from Hagoyin, Hamuvak, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, the Avdezin of Karetz, that this Mishnah and Kalim is teaching you that since on day one is Mekabel Tumah, Yom Kippur can't fall out on a Sunday. Yom Kippur is Kulei Lashem. Yom Kippur can't fall out on a day that things were created on Mekabel Tumah. On day two, the firmament, Yom Kippur could come out on a Monday. Day three, the trees Mekabel Tumah, Yom Kippur can't fall out. Day four, the celestial bodies are not Mekabel Tumah, Yom Kippur could fall out. Day five, it's not Mekabel Tumah. Except for one thing, Midrabana, and Yom Kippur could still fall out. Day six, God created man. Man is Mekabel Tumah. Yom Kippur cannot fall out on those days. The Mishnah and Kalim is saying what days things were created that are Mekabel Tumah in order to know what days Yom Kippur cannot fall out on. Comes the Yir HaKadosh, the Yehudi Miparshischa, quoted by Rav Menachem Zemba in number 17, and he says, on the flip side, Purim could only fall out on the days that are Mekabel Tumah. So on day one, God created the earth. Purim could only come out on day one. Purim cannot come out on a day that's not Mekabel Tumah. On day two, God created the Rukia. No, that's not it. Purim is a day that's Mekabel Tumah. Purim is a day we celebrate Gufeinu with our bodies physically. It cannot come out on a Monday. On Tuesday, God created the trees. Purim could come out. Yom Kippur cannot come out. Wednesday, God created the luminaries. Yom Kippur could come out. Purim cannot. There's only one day a week they both could come out. Thursday. Because Thursday, nothing was created that's Mekabel Tumah except for a few things Midrabanan. So Yom Kippur could fall out because nothing is Mekabel Tumah Midaraisa, and Purim could come out because there are things that are Mekabel Tumah Midrabanan. Friday, of course. See, we're used to thinking that Yom Kippur can't fall out on a Sunday and a Friday because you can't have 2 days of no malacha together. That's true, but it also can't come out on a Tuesday. Loy agu Yom Kippur. Loy agu Yom Kippur. And the opposite, Purim cannot fall out on the days that are not Mekabel Tumah. Says Rav Menachem Zemba, chiddush atzom, an amazing chiddush. Says Rav Menachem Zemba, the reason the Tana wrote which days are Mekabel Tumah, which days are not, is not only Bizman Hazeh can Yom Kippur not come out on Sunday, Tuesday, and Friday. Even when Bezdin was Mekadesh, the Levana, Alpi Re'iyah, they would manipulate the calendar to make sure Yom Kippur would not come out on a day that's Mekabel Tumah, and Purim could only come out on a day that is Mekabel Tumah. So let's just say something, a very big side, and this fits beautifully into what we're saying. The Yalkut Shmoni says, there are 2 days on the calendar that will never become batel. Purim and Yom Kippur. Right? Vimei ha-Purim ha-Ela lo yavru. So that teaches you Purim will never become batel. And v'hoysa zois lechem l'chukas oylam, Yom Kippur will never become batel. So why? So listen to the way the Shlosh says it, and it fits in beautifully to what we said so far. On Purim, we get rid of who? Esav. On Yom Kippur, we get rid of who? The Yetzer Hara. The truth is, these are not really two different ma'akvim. Esav is the Samach Mem. Esav is the Yetzer Hara. Esav is the Malach HaMavis. Hu ha-Yetzer Hara, hu ha-Satan, hu Malach HaMavis. But we know Esav literally is the embodiment of the Malach HaMavis. The only thing is, Esav is down here in the physical, and the Yetzer Hara and the Satan is the spiritual in Shamayim. So we have a two-pronged combat attack against our really two-pronged enemy. Our enemy is Esav, but Esav comes in two forms. He comes in the physical form of the physical form of Esav, the nations of the world, and he comes in the spiritual form of the Satan. So therefore, we have 2 days that likewise take on these two enemies. Purim takes on the Yetzer Hara, the Purim takes on, Esav, the physical Satan, and Yom Kippur takes on the Satan, the Malach HaMaves, the Yetzer Hara in Shamayim. These 2 days then, Purim and Yom Kippur, are really one day. It's not Kuloi Lashem, Kuloi Lachem, it's Chatzi Lachem, Chatzi Lashem. It's one calendar date where part of it is to take on the enemy of Esav, and that's Purim, and part of it is to take on the enemy of the Yetzer Hara. Putting these 2 days together, that's our great defense. That's why Yitzchak says, Ribono Shel Olam, you take all of it. Otherwise, palgi alai, palgi alecha, either half on me and half on you. It's interesting. If you look in the Megillah, how many days is Achashverosh's party? 180 days. Can I get the years of Yitzchak Avinu? How many children does Haman have? 208. Can I get the gematria of Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak was the one who brokered the deal to save us through Yom Kippur that Hashem gave us and through Purim that comes through Yeshua from Esar Rabbeisai. Should be Zoicha to take advantage of both of these days and be Megala the Ritzoinenu Lasois Ritzoincha. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.